Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Gyana Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a day for begging for strength to carry out Krishna's instructions. Krishna instructs, and Balaram gives the strength to carry out Krishna's instructions. Sometimes in our spiritual life we wonder, do we have the strength to continue to go on? The training course of Bhakti Yoga has its ways of humbling us, of reminding us of our tiny insignificance. In those kind of tests, yes, there are tests. Srila Prabhupada said every devotee will be tested. Devotees asked him what was his test, and he said, I'm not going to tell you that. No doubt we might be frightened away. How will we make it through the various episodes of a spirit soul trying to exist in the material world? Bhakti, to any sane person, is so attractive. But we wonder, is Krishna some kind of sadist who has made bhakti so attractive, yet so impossible to execute properly? Where do we get the strength to carry out Krishna's instructions, which in the dense darkness and agitation of Kali Yuga may seem so difficult to bear? Today is our day for laying claim to the strength that Lord Nityananda Prabhu provides. Lord Chaitanya said that Nityananda Prabhu could execute a task that not even Mahaprabhu himself could do. When we look at the situation of Kali Yuga today, around the world you can see complete bafflement. The vaunted institutions of human society, so-called democracy, so-called free market system, cannot cope with the problems of the day. Throughout the world, you'll see just institutional dysfunctionalism as people are becoming more and more cognizant that no political or economic solution is working. There have been no new political and economic ideologies for hundreds of years now. It's the same old, same thing. Everyone's run out of steam in terms of speculating material solutions to material problems. Institutional problems, whether economic or political, mean a human problem that people haven't quite clicked on yet. They have a problem in terms of what is the purpose of human life. And of course, the problem in understanding the purpose of the human life means a problem in identity, an identity crisis. Am I material or am I non-material? And if I'm non-material, what is the non-material reality that I'm supposed to access and be in connection with? That is real yoga. Connection. What is the ultimate spiritual reality that I'm meant to function harmoniously with? Then again, you can sympathize with people, why they are in such darkness. We need to appreciate how much illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling rattle people's minds, nullify their intelligence. In this dense darkness of ignorance and agitation, you see that although the jiva has some intelligence manifesting in material life, it goes all the wrong way. Every material body allows a manifestation of a certain amount of intelligence. The human body, as we know, allows the full manifestation of intelligence, but if you are bewildered by the illusory energy, your intelligence manifests, but all for the wrong purposes. In other words, instead of using your human intelligence to go back to Godhead, you use your human intelligence for all kinds of economic, political, technological intricacies. Now, these are symptoms of intelligence, but the intelligence has manifested in the wrong way. Srila Prabhupada explained, it's as Krishna has said, all right, I've given you intelligence, you don't want to use it to listen to me, all right, it gets used for something else. You do have intelligence, but now it's going to be abused. So certainly all the complexities of material life are symptoms of intelligence. It's all distorted. Just think, if those distorted manifestations of intelligence through economics, politics, and technology were applied to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, then you would see the real glory of the human potential. On Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day, we protest the layers of darkness covering the human beings. And we have a right to protest that because we know there is a solution. Nitai Padakamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. We know where real peace can be found. The conditioned soul has no idea of what real peace is, although they always talk of personal peace for me, world peace for everyone. They have no idea what a peaceful condition is. The general conception is there'll be world peace through sense gratification. World peace means everyone can gratify their senses however they like, and it's all going to work out. Economically, politically, environmentally, and it's all going to click. That's their conception of peace. That no one will bug me as I become an animal. No one will disturb me as I act as an animal. That is world peace. Individuals will live in harmony through sense gratification. Nations will live in harmony through sense gratification. So without even a proper understanding of what is peace, how can they understand what's truly wrong? So Narottam Das Thakur says in his song that they don't understand the value residing at Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. They fail to appreciate where real peace emanates from. And then, of course, for those who are fortunate to be Krishna bhaktas, they need Lord Nityananda to approach Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur says this twice in his song. Ordinarily, even in Vrindavan, what to speak of the rest of India, what to speak of the world, ordinarily it's very difficult to understand Radha and Krishna. That's why so many misconceptions abound, so many permutations, lack of clarity to varying degrees. But if you approach Sri Sri Radha Krishna through the mercy of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, then everything becomes clear. And especially Narottam Das Thakur is emphasizing, you must obtain the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu in order to understand Radha Krishna, in order to participate in their leela. Today I'd like to speak about especially some pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Advaita Acharya. The interaction amongst these three lords, these three Prabhus. Let us go to Shantipur, where Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu have conspired that Lord Chaitanya go there to Advaita Acharya Prabhu's house instead of going to Vrindavan. It's time for prasad. And so Advaita Acharya leads Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to where they should lunch. And Lord Chaitanya assumes, oh, there are these three divisions of food, all meant to be offered to Lord Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya is in the role of a devotee. Oh, what glorious bhoga that's being offered. I will personally take the dust from the feet of anyone who can offer such exquisite food to Lord Krishna. Of course, the food is meant for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and one part for Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya doesn't assume that. So then, it's Advaita Acharya coaxes him, just calm down and just let's do everything according to the proper procedure here. Then it's time for distributing the food. It's time to take prasad. So Lord Chaitanya assumes all this will be distributed to the devotees. Advaita Acharya says, please, sit down, sit down. Sit down in these places. Lord Chaitanya asks, I just want a little bit of vegetables. I just, a little bit of rice, that's all. Again, Advaita Acharya coaxes him. No, no, no. I know who you are. I know your concealed purpose. I know why you took sannyas. In other words, let's not get into a big commotion here. Let's just honor prasad. Lord Chaitanya is protesting, but a sannyasi is not supposed to eat so much. Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya points out, you eat 54 times a day at Jagannath Puri. So why are you making such a big deal about this little bit of food I'm offering here? And Lord Chaitanya, because he's demonstrating the behavior of an ideal sannyasi. There's always this clash in Gaura Lila between Lord Chaitanya's wanting to demonstrate rigidly the principles of sannyas and his devotees objecting, feeling pain because of Lord Chaitanya's austerities. So sometimes Lord Chaitanya would get to demonstrate the sannyas lifestyle very rigidly, and sometimes he would bend to the affection of his devotees. And you'll see in Chaitanya Lila that there's this paradox between Lord Chaitanya's rosha, his anger, and his santosha, his satisfaction. Externally, he'll appear angry, like when Nityananda Prabhu broke his danda. Where is my danda? Oh, when we were both dancing in ecstasy, we happened to fall on the danda. Because Nityananda Prabhu wanted to demonstrate to the world that Mahaprabhu doesn't need to carry a danda. He is the epitome of renunciation. He's the crest jewel of the sannyas order. He is the pinnacle. Why does he need to carry a danda? But Lord Chaitanya wanted to carry a danda to show that I'm a developing, evolving sannyasi, going through the various stages of sannyas. I want to demonstrate what proper sannyas dharma is. But Nityananda Prabhu didn't agree. So externally, Lord Chaitanya was angry. All right, I'm leaving. I'll either walk behind you all to Puri, or I'll walk ahead of you all. But we're separating. This is Nityananda Prabhu's contribution to Lord Chaitanya's activities. Tricking him to go to the house of Advaitacharya, telling the cowherd boys to mislead Mahaprabhu. Breaking Lord Chaitanya's danda, throwing it in the river. And now we're discussing Prasad Lila, when Lord Chaitanya finally sits down to take prasad at the house of Advaitacharya. He's protested the quantity, and he was also protesting the variety. On both counts, Mahaprabhu says, this is not the duty of a sannyasi. Externally, he's acting in that way. Because he feels that it's part of his mission to show proper austerities. Finally, Advaitacharya gets both Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu to sit down. And inwardly, Lord Chaitanya is satisfied seeing the offerings before Nityananda Prabhu and himself. Inwardly, there's the santosha. Externally, there's disturbance. But even those external disturbances, Advaitacharya quells by his devotion. The meal, however, cannot proceed in a normal way. Nityananda Prabhu is going to take another route. Mahaprabhu has put in his protest about the quantity of prasad and the variety of the prasad. Too much exquisite prasad here. What's Nityananda Prabhu's route? What a tiny bit of prasad. What is this? I have been fasting for days now, and I hope to terminate my fast, and yet I'm sitting down here, and there's just a morsel of prasad. This is not enough to even fill half my belly. Advaitacharya takes the cue. Oh, just see how I'm ruined. I have invited to my house Prashna Avaduta, a reject Paramahansa. What will become of me? In my home, I have a deviant Avaduta. Of course, he's speaking the truth at a deep level, that Nityananda Prabhu is beyond any social formulas, beyond any religious formulas in terms of what people conceive of as religious behavior in the material world. But Advaitacharya is going to point this out in a humorous way. What will become of me? Please, just take whatever prasad is there. Be satisfied. I'm just a poor householder. Which wasn't true at all. During that time that Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya were at, and Mahaprabhu were at the house of Advaitacharya, as many people who showed up for the festival, there were accommodations and prasad for it. It wasn't a material management affair at all. Scores of people turned up to participate in the chanting at night, in the talks about Krishna during the day, and the feasting during the day. And no one was turned away. There was ample accommodation as well as prasad for everyone. But Advaitacharya is presenting himself to Nityananda Prabhu. I'm a poor householder. Just take what I can offer you, please. Be quiet. So Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begin to lunch. And although Mahaprabhu is satisfied, Nityananda Prabhu has to cause a ruckus. Midway through the meal, he announces, I still haven't eaten enough. Still I'm hungry. Advaitacharya tries to defend himself. Look, we know that you can eat between 40 and 80 kilos of rice. But this is all I have. Of course, there was huge amounts of prasad, but Nityananda chose to take this route. This is not enough, just a tiny bit. So Nityananda Prabhu then throws a Paramahansa temper tantrum. He takes some rice and just throws it on the floor. Normally you never do such a thing with prasad. And then, as you know, in the process of his throwing rice on the floor, some of the rice particles land on Advaitacharya's body. And what does Advaitacharya do? He begins to dance in ecstasy. Now I'm purified. Now I have been elevated. No longer am I a caste brahmana. I've become a real spiritualist. I've become a real devotee because I'm touched with rice thrown by Nityananda Prabhu. So he's dancing in ecstasy. But Nityananda is not finished. He accuses Advaitacharya of having a mundane conception about prasad. So you see, Advaitacharya's angle is, I have been touched by the remnants from this glorious devotee. Nityananda Prabhu, his angle then is, I'm just an ordinary person. How can you say there's anything special about my remnants? You have a mundane conception of prasad. You are considering prasad to be just an ordinary thing, because I'm an ordinary person. I threw some rice. You're making such a big deal about it now, saying you've been purified. It shows you don't understand what is real prasad. So he then announces a penalty for Advaitacharya. The only excuse for this offense The only pardon for this offense of having a mundane conception about prasad is that you have to invite 100 sannyasis to your house for lunch. What was Advaitacharya's response? Oh no, I've had so much trouble with just one of you guys. And you want me to invite 100? There was another prasad mock fight between Advaitacharya Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu after the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir. Again, you'll see examples of this paradox in Mahaprabhu. The rosha, the anger externally, and the santosha, the satisfaction within. You can see it when during the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir, a Bengali devotee very ingeniously poured water over the feet of Mahaprabhu and drank it. Externally, Lord Chaitanya was very angry. But internally, he was satisfied. So there's always this apparent paradox. It's time for prasad, and Lord Chaitanya is making sure that all the devotees have exactly the type of prasad they like. He's ordering that the first class prasad should be distributed to everyone else. Of course, Srup Damodar and Jagannanda, they had another idea. And especially Jagannanda, he would swiftly just pile all the first class preparations on Lord Chaitanya's plate. And Lord Chaitanya would just look at it in fear, afraid to say anything, knowing that if Jagannanda is offended, he won't take prasad, he'll fast and he'll cause a commotion. Meanwhile, Srup Damodar is very affectionately coaxing the Lord Chaitanya, just eat, just eat, just eat. Again, Lord Chaitanya is pleased, but next to him is Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, and they have their own scene going on. You can start to appreciate, I hope, the variegatedness of the absolute truth. The impersonalists say everything is one, so Krishna says, all right, I'll come as five. And you see that unity and diversity, how all the diversities form the oneness in the interactions between Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All three are Prabhus and one is Mahaprabhu. So, Advaitacharya, during lunch, suddenly announces, oh no, I have no idea what my destination will be. I'm eating with this unknown avaduta. Referring to Nityananda Prabhu, of course. What will become of me? This is actually an important point on many levels. What will my destination be? Because our criticism of society is based on two points. Number one, no conception of liberation from material existence. This is not a theme that's on anyone's mind, generally speaking. Human society has constructed such a way of life so that not only no one cares about liberation, but no one thinks about freedom from material existence. So that's point number one. That's our criticism number one. Our criticism number two is that no one cares about their destination, whether they'll become an animal in their next life or not. This is not a relevant subject matter. Who cares? The point is how to enjoy your life in the prison cell. How you can do whatever you like. How your senses and mind tell you, you act. But this is insanity, because if you're in prison, how can you just do whatever you like? Any little thing you do, there's a reaction, because there's rules and regulations for everything. That's the way prisons work. So Dvaitacharya, in his battles with Nityananda Prabhu, he's pointing out the importance of understanding what your destination is. I'm sitting next to someone who knows where he's at, who knows what his mentality is, who knows anything about him. What will happen to me? What will be my destination? What will be my gati? I have no idea. So in his joking, he's making a very serious point. He goes further. As far as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a sannyasi. He doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations that I, as a grihastha brahmana, have to follow. The sannyasi can take food from here, there, and everywhere. But I, as a grihastha brahmana, have to be very strict. But look who is sitting next to me. How can I maintain the proper dharma when I have such an unknown character sitting next to me? Number one, we don't know his janma. We don't know his birth. Whether it's good, bad, high, low, who knows? Number two, we don't know his kula. We don't know anything about his family line, his dynasty. Number three, we don't know anything about his shila, his character. Is it good? Is it bad? Who knows? And number four, his achar, his behavior. Who can understand it? So it sounds like he's really putting Nityananda Prabhu down. But actually, he's presenting the eternal truth, the eternal tattva of Nityananda Prabhu, who is beyond any caste designations, beyond any material conceptions of behavior. The true Paramahansa, who has nothing to do with the material energy. Naturally, Lord Nityananda Prabhu is beyond any material conception. It's not that he has to go through sadhana to get to that point. It's not that he has to struggle to rise above the material energy. He's the natural Paramahansa. So Advaitacharya is actually speaking Nityananda Tattva. But Nityananda is going to reply. Advaitacharya, your very name lets us know where you're at. You are an impersonalist. You are a monist. And what is your main activity? Teaching Advaita Siddhanta. You are teaching the monistic conclusion, as your very name lets everyone know. Actually, Nityananda Prabhu is glorifying Advaitacharya. What he's really saying is that you are Shuddha Bhakta, you are a pure devotee, and you are teaching the right conclusion. Advaita Siddhanta actually means Advaya Gyan. There is oneness which includes eternal variety. As you know, the false Advaita Siddhanta means that any distinctions between the Lord and his servants are just temporary. Any understandings that there is the predominator and the predominated, these are just temporary. And once you reach spiritual perfection, all such distinctions fade away. Therefore, bhakti yoga is a material activity. It's a material ritual dealing with temporary variegatedness, which is not the eternal reality. We are listening to the interactions between Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are showing, indeed, as Chaitanya Charitamrita says by its title, the eternal characteristics of the living force. There are the Prabhus, and there are the servants of the Prabhus. Even though Nityananda and Advaita Acharya are Prabhus, they still see themselves as servants in Chaitanya Leela. Therefore, sometimes Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu just spontaneously jump up and dance, shouting, "We are servants of Lord Chaitanya! We are the servants of Lord Chaitanya! We're the servants of His servant!" That is their ecstasy. So this is eternal, genuine Advaita Gyan, genuine knowledge of non-duality. So Nityananda Prabhu is crediting Advaita Acharya. You're actually teaching the real thing, how the eternal varieties all form one unit. You're not a monist in the faulty sense. Meanwhile, what's happening to Lord Chaitanya? Amidst the trio and surrounded by devotees, all the devotees are in consecutive rows. What is Lord Chaitanya doing? Well, Nityananda and Advaita Acharya having this battle, he is trying to control his ecstasies, because the whole lunch situation reminds Mahaprabhu of Krishna lunching with the cowherd boys in the forests of Vrindavan. So he's trying to control himself and be patient, restrain his transcendental emotions. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya having this battle. This is the eternal spiritual variegatedness. After apparently insulting Advaita Acharya while actually glorifying him, then Nityananda Prabhu presents a worry about himself, a worry of his own. I'm seated next to this monist, this impersonalist. I'm not only sitting next to him, I'm eating with him. How will my mind be affected? What will be the result for my mind? So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu is teaching us a lesson that according to your association, your mind is affected. If you want to understand your mind, look at who's around you. Look at whom you're eating with. Look at whom you're talking with. Look at whom you're engaged in the six loving exchanges with. Then you'll understand more about your mind. Your mind does not exist in isolation. Your mind is easily influenced. So Nityananda Prabhu is saying, what will happen to my mind? Look who's next to me. In other words, be careful, conditioned souls. Don't think that you are free to just wander here and there, aloof from any influences. No, you will be influenced, and you should be careful about whom you eat with, whom you talk with, whom you reveal your mind to. So we might say that the way the world is, how can you remain aloof from influences? It seems impossible. Again, is Krishna such a sadist that he has made bhakti look so sweet and attractive, yet it's impossible to execute in this day and age? We take strength from Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who in Chaitanya Leela demonstrates that strength is available. When Lord Chaitanya is dancing at Ratha Yatra, sometimes he leaps in the air, he rolls on the ground like a golden mountain, And Nityananda Prabhu was always running here and there with his arms outstretched, trying to catch Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda Prabhu is letting us know the strength is there. I'll give you the strength. When the crowds are surging around Mahaprabhu at Rath Yatra, what is Nityananda Prabhu doing? He forms the first circle protecting Lord Chaitanya. That first circle, of course, is not ordinary because it's formed by Nityananda Prabhu, who is Mahabala. The great strength, not material strength. Human society today has made the great mistake of trying to organize based on material strength. And therefore it's beset with economic problems, political problems, environmental problems. Nityananda Prabhu demonstrates Mahabala, spiritual strength. Ignore that at your peril. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Nittai Charana Satya. This is not Hindu mythology. This is fact. The lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu and the strength that they award. This is not religious sentiment. This is not theological speculation. So Nityananda Prabhu forms that first circle. And then Kashishvar and Govinda form the second circle. And the third circle is formed by King Prataparudra. Sometimes, however, by the arrangements of Yogamaya, Nityananda Prabhu just gets lost in ecstasy. And Kashishvar and Govinda, they get caught up doing something else. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falls on the ground at Rath Yatra, right at the feet of Prataparudra, the king whom he's done everything to avoid. So you see that even Nityananda Prabhu, he has his moments when apparently he's not doing his duty. But it's all part of the Leela. He's off somewhere. And by the arrangement of the pastime, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, caught up in ecstasy, apparently, unintentionally, unconsciously, falls at the feet of Prataparudra Maharaj, the king who has an opportunity to pick up Lord Chaitanya. Again, in this situation, you'll see the combination of Rosha and Santosha. Because externally, Lord Chaitanya will be very disturbed. Oh no, what will become of me? All these incidents of what will become of me, as evidenced by Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teach us a lesson. It's Leela, but they're teaching us a lesson. They're concerned. What will be our destination? What will happen to our mind? What will happen to our spiritual life? So, we should take note of that. As Srila Prabhupada said, very charitably, he said, there's only one difference between his disciples and him. He said, my disciples have no fear of Maya, and I'm always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. That's the only difference, he said. So we can learn from Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're showing concern while they're having Leela and having their mock fighting and having their interactions. So when Lord Chaitanya fell at the feet of King Prataparudra, he collapsed in ecstasy. Nityananda wasn't there to catch him. With his arms outstretched, Lord Chaitanya said, what will become of me? I've been touched by a materialist. So externally he was angry, but internally he was satisfied. And the devotees pointed that out to Prataparudra, who was mortified, horrified. Oh no, have I done a great offense? And so the devotee said, externally it's like that, but internally Lord Chaitanya has given you a benediction. So apparently Nityananda slacked off on the job. He was lost in ecstasy. But this is all divine arrangement. Another time in Puri, Lord Chaitanya had just ordered Advaitacharya, distribute Krishna Bhakti to everyone, even the lowest of persons. And then he called Nityananda Prabhu. Because they had previously had a consultation in a private place. They would do that sometimes. Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would consult one another. No one could understand what they were talking about. So after ordering Advaitacharya in this way, distribute Krishna Bhakti to everyone, even the lowest of persons, he then called Nityananda Prabhu. Don't come to Jagannath Puri every year. Go to Bengal and preach. You can do a job that even I can't do. This is the power of parampara. As Srila Prabhupada so beautifully explains in the purport, Krishna wants to see his devotee get more credit than he himself. He wants to see the devotee do more wonderful things than even the Lord has done himself. So apparently, it seems he's saying to Nityananda Prabhu, don't come. But on the other hand, when he calls out to him, oh Shripad, oh holy man, I have something I want you to fulfill, I have a desire. This is the greatest benediction. And this is what we long for also, to have a chance to render some service to Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. No matter what that service is, of course, we should endeavor to do the service that is most dear to Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. And every individual devotee endeavors to find out what is it that you would most want me to do. There are services I would like to do, but please, I'm waiting for that day. I'm begging for that day when you reveal to me the service for me to you that's most dear to you. So Nityananda Prabhu is showing us that golden moment. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has called to him, Shripad, I have a desire. Please fulfill it. Apparently, it seems like Nityananda Prabhu is being sent away. Don't come to the festival in Jagannath Puri. Stay in Bengal. You can do something I can't do. And what is Nityananda Prabhu's response? You are the life. I am the body. The life and the body, in one sense, are the same. But always, it is so that the life is more important than the body. He's telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are the Nithai Pran. You're the life of Nithai. I'll do whatever you say. By your mercy, by your arrangement, I'll try to do something. But it's all the potency is coming from you. So in that way, Nityananda Prabhu is showing us how to take up the order of the parampara. On Nityananda's appearance day today, that Nityananda Prabhu who was able to see Lord Chaitanya manifest as Srimati Radharani and offer his obeisances from afar. On his holy appearance day, let us beg for the opportunity to disclose our hearts and long for doing whatever particular service Sri Sri Gaur Nithai want us to do the most. Let us make our individuality based on their desire. This was Nityananda Prabhu's response to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm molding myself according to your desire. And then when we're fortunate enough that we can understand what that particular service is that Sri Sri Gaura Nittai want us to do the most, then we can beg for the potency to carry out that service. For a devotee, this is the ultimate. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki.